Hi there, Carl Massey here, coach, strategist, and author of The Guidebook to Happiness, The Guidebook to Optimum Health, The Guidebook to Authentic Success, and The Successful Mind. And welcome to today's session of the Life Masterclass, coming to you all the way from beautiful Bali. I'm excited to be able to share with you very practical tips, tools, and strategies for how we can increase your happiness, health, vitality, and your success in life. And make sure our lessons go all the way to your core. Each month I'm going to be recording a guided meditation so you start evolving from the inside out. Thanks a lot for joining me today for something special, because I've decided to upload the entire audiobook of The Successful Mind to the Life Masterclass podcast series. I'll upload one chapter for each session, but I'll upload all of the chapters at once so you can get access to the entire book right away. I don't want to keep you waiting, because some good, very good information there, and I'm really excited to share it with as many people as possible. It's something that I wish I had known a long time ago, and so I want to share it as far and wide as I possibly can. Today's podcast is Chapter 5, How Beliefs Determine Our Actions.
You've already seen this diagram in the introduction, but now we're going to do more prospecting so that you truly understand the impact of this collection of boxes and arrows. The diagram again represents beliefs, influences, emotions and feelings, which drives behaviours, which creates results. First, I'll offer another illustrative scenario, and then we'll come back to that framework, that diagram. In case there are any doubters out there, I want to reiterate that it is our beliefs and thinking that create our experience, rather than the other way around. In a stage left, our infamous duo, Mr. Sunny and Mr. Cloudy. Thank you, gentlemen. You might not be surprised to hear that Mr. Cloudy believes you cannot trust anyone, and Mr. Sunny believes there are a lot of trustworthy people in the world. Shock, horror. I want you to imagine how each of these men would behave upon meeting a third person, let's call her Miss Neutral, based on their beliefs, which got planted by someone else when they knew no better and literally believed everything they were told. What sort of behaviour, communicated through their words, tone, energy and body language, do you think Mr. Cloudy and Mr. Sunny would be projecting towards Miss Neutral? Would Mr. Cloudy and Mr. Sunny project themselves any differently towards Miss Neutral based on their beliefs? Would one be more closed, suspicious and tense, or the other more open, engaging and relaxed? And do you think that Miss Neutral is likely to respond differently to each of them? Do you think that she is likely to respond in a more open and engaging way with Mr. Sunny or Mr. Cloudy? So in this very simplistic example, you're probably starting to see how your behaviour is directly affected by your beliefs. And it is the way that we behave that will have an enormous impact on the results and outcomes that we get in life. Based on their different behaviours, Mr. Cloudy's and Mr. Sunny's meeting with Miss Neutral are likely to go in completely different directions and lead to very, very different results. The other really important point to note here is that the reaction to the men by Miss Neutral is likely to further confirm what Mr. Cloudy and Mr. Sunny already believe. The spiral continues where someone blames someone or something external for the results they get, rather than considering that it may have been their thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and subsequent behaviour that led to the result they experienced. Since repetition is one of the ways that we learn most effectively, let me summarise what we now know. Our beliefs and thoughts influence the emotions we experience, which lead us to behave in a particular way, which ultimately determines our results and outcomes in life. I'm sure that you're starting to see how important this process is. This is nothing short of amazing. Now, let us introduce the reverse engineering process. If you change your beliefs, you'll actually change the way you experience your life. Let me say that again. By changing your beliefs, you will actually have a completely new life experience. And if you're asking how, again, don't worry. We'll be getting there soon enough. But let's come to understand a little more about how beliefs actually work within our minds. So let's look at running on autopilot. There are times in our lives when we know exactly where we want to go, consciously, but then life comes along and throws something at us as a distraction. The next thing we know, we're completely off track. This is a result of our beautiful subconscious mind taking over the controls when we're distracted and switching to autopilot. Make no mistake, our autopilot is the best method of managing the trillions of functions that are occurring throughout our bodies every second. If we had to consciously manage every process that's happening in our bodies, we would collapse within moments. We do not have the mental capacity to manage our bodies consciously. That is the role of the very capable and competent brain, in particular the reptilian part of our brain and to a lesser extent the limbic part of our brain, which govern our autonomic nervous system. Our thinking brain wants to make new knowledge or skills unconscious as soon as possible because it requires a lot less energy for the reptilian part of our brain to manage those behavioural functions. So now back to autopilot. I'm sure you will agree that the autopilot function has made flying in a jet plane a very smooth and safe event. The only challenge is when our conscious mind is not aligned with our subconscious mind. When the autopilot has been set to a particular flight path, which is different from the path the pilot consciously wants to take, then the plane will take them to a destination they don't want to go. It's like the autopilot being set for London while the pilot intends to fly to Paris. It will be a constant and very conscious struggle on the part of the pilot to get that plane to land safely and on time at Paris Charles de Gaulle International Airport. This is exactly how it is in your mind when the conscious and subconscious minds are pulling in different directions. Here's another great example. Michelle tells herself that she wants $1 million in her bank account. Don't we all? And this is definitely possible because there are lots of other people made from the same biological stuff as Michelle that have already done it. However, every time Michelle sees someone driving around in an expensive sports car, she screws up her nose and says to herself, "What a pretentious jerk," and plants this little seed in her head time and time again. So over time, a subconscious mind links money to being a jerk. And because the thought of being a jerk has a negative emotion associated with it, Michelle's subconscious mind decides that having lots of money will lead to discomfort and therefore a negative outcome. So Michelle's subconscious mind will work 24/7 to ensure that Michelle doesn't become a jerk by becoming rich. The end result? Riches do not come easily or at all to Michelle. There is an incoherent signal between the conscious and subconscious mind and therefore a lack of harmony and consistent thinking. No wonder she misses out on attaining her conscious goal. T. Harv Eker, in his excellent book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, says one of the 17 wealth secrets of the rich is rich people admire other rich and successful people. Poor people resent rich and successful people. Therefore, if you want lots of money and great financial flow, always, always, always link money to a positive image and emotion. One of the most influential achievements we can attain in life is to finally have our subconscious beliefs aligned with our conscious desires. The day that happens is the day the abundance that exists in this universe starts to fall out of the sky and land right in your lap. This reminds me of a quote from Buddha. "More than those who hate you, more than all your enemies, an undisciplined mind does greater harm. Control your mind and you open the door to the king's treasury." Dr. Bruce Lipton, author of The Biology of Belief, a book again I highly recommend, reiterates that we're running on our subconscious autopilot about 95% of the time. That means 95% of the time we're running on the program stored in the subconscious part of our minds. That is great if the programs we're running are empowered and causing us to feel inspired, but disastrous to our health, wealth, success, and happiness if our subconscious beliefs put us into a disempowered state. Now let's look at the role of emotions. Up until this point, we've talked extensively about the thinking part of the brain, that is the cortex and most particularly the frontal lobes. We've described beliefs as a statement or a series of words. That is definitely where it all starts, but I would be remiss not to provide you with a quick overview of the role that emotions play in this whole process. Because let's face it, life is really a series of feelings that we experience on a daily basis, which are otherwise known as emotions. The part of our brain most related to our emotions and the formation of its chemicals, which cause us to feel a particular way, is the limbic part of the brain, sometimes called the mammalian part or the midbrain. It is our emotions that actually cause us to act. Tony Robbins, a leading American success coach, likes to use the phrase emotion creates motion. I also teach my clients that emotion is a fuel that turns potential energy into kinetic energy or action. Emotions therefore play a big part in our actions and in the results we get in life. In case you're not completely clear on how emotions specifically relate to beliefs, let me explain. When we have a particular thought, it generally causes a biological response in our brains and body. And those chemicals will cause us to act. For example, if we think a fearful thought, our brain will activate the sympathetic nervous system. We'll have a sensory experience of feeling fear, and then we'll go into a fight, flight, or freeze response. If we have an empowering thought, our brain will set up a flood of positive chemicals like dopamine, serotonin, or oxytocin, which make us feel good and may cause us to continue doing what we're doing, to try a little harder, to think a little deeper, or to relax a little bit more. So our thoughts and beliefs directly impact the biology in our bodies and the feelings that we experience and are part of what causes our bodies to act in a particular way. In my mind, Mr. Sunny walks around with his head held high, breathing deeply with a smile on his face and feels vibrant, joyful, and happy. His deep breathing and open chest are also causing him to draw in even more oxygen, which consequently relaxes the sympathetic nervous system. Whereas Mr. Cloud is walking around with his eyes downcast, shoulders hunched, chest constricted, breathing shallowly and with a frown taking residence on his forehead. He's also likely to be feeling unhappy, uninspired, and low on energy. To add to this conversation, perhaps offer a new perspective for you, I'd also like to explore energy so you understand its tangible influences on the results we get in life. The first fact to understand is that everything in the universe is made of energy, vibrating at different levels of frequency and therefore carrying different information. It's just like when you tune your FM radio to a different frequency, you get different information, like a completely different song. Because we are made of energy, like everything else in the universe, it is the emotions we experience and create that have the greatest impact on the energetic field around our bodies. Just like a magnet has an invisible field of energy around it, which can affect matter, like iron filings and a piece of paper held over a magnet, our bodies have a field of energy around us called a torus field, which creates a different response for the people around us based on our emotions and the frequencies they are resonating at. Our beliefs influence our emotions, which influence this field of energy around us. This in turn influences the people we meet and interact with. Elevated emotions like joy, bliss, awe, gratitude, and love create a very different field of energy than survival emotions such as fear, guilt, jealousy, attachment, and shame. Just like when some people step into the room and raise the energy of everyone in the room, other people can come into the room and suck out the energy of everyone in it. I'm sure you, like me, have experienced this phenomenon. Know that your beliefs impact your emotions, which change your energy and therefore affect people around you in subtle and unseen ways. And if you want to go even deeper, the field of energy that we create through our thoughts and emotions also affects the unified quantum field where all things are created. You draw things towards you or repel them from the quantum field based on your emotions. If you want to understand your relationship to the quantum field, I would highly recommend you follow the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, a pioneering neuroscientist who has written incredible books like You Are the Placebo and Becoming Supernatural. The last point I'll make on emotions is that if we are triggered strongly enough by a specific belief, be it positive or negative, the feeling starts to take up residence in the body. It may even get to a stage where the emotion precedes the thought or belief. For example, imagine that you have a recurring thought, which is just a belief, and a feeling such as worry is linked to that thought. Then this thinking and feeling worried is played out hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. Eventually, the feeling of worry becomes the belief, and the belief automatically triggers a feeling of worry, creating a thinking, feeling, thinking loop. Have you ever had a feeling that made you wonder, where the heck did that come from? This is definitely the body running on autopilot. Great if the emotions are all of those empowering and vitalizing emotions, but not so great if the emotions are ones of fear, anxiety, or worry. Now let's look at the power of words. On one hand, we're told that sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt us. Now, on the other hand, we're told the pen, or penning words, is mightier than the sword. Words do matter. Words are powerful. That is why a complex language system has meant the human race has become the governing species on the planet. A single word can change the entire direction of your life. Think about these two small words, can and can't. One opens the door to possibility and the other closes the very same door. In real-world terms, this can be the difference between someone living out their wildest dreams or going to the grave with feelings of deep regret and unrealized dreams. As a coach, I spend a lot of my time helping my clients become a lot more conscious and aware of the words they're using. There are words that open us up, the words that cause us to contract physically and emotionally. There are words that cause us to lean forward and words that cause us to step back. There are words that activate the stress response and words that activate the relaxation response. There are words that allow us to see a field of infinite possibilities, while other words cause us to see our choices as being limited to a single claustrophobic tunnel. I hear people use words like suffocating when what they're actually experiencing is confusion about what choice to make. Or someone will say they've been stabbed in the back when the reality is that a friend of theirs spoke poorly of them behind their back. Many people choose their words unwisely or carelessly and inevitably find themselves in an emotional hurricane of their own making. These hurricanes, though, can be transformed into mildly bothersome windstorms if different words are consciously chosen to describe the current reality. If we use words and statements like, I am suffocating, my friend stabbed me in the back, I'm dying over here, he tore my heart out and crushed it. As interesting as these statements are to read in some drama novel or watch on the television, they're absolutely toxic and counterproductive to your happiness and well-being when you use them in your own life. News channels on television make a business out of using highly emotive language so they can create a sense of fear in you and cause you to believe you need to watch more so you are aware, in inverted commas, of all the potential dangers in your life. They know that at a primal level we are hypervigilant and pay more attention to potential threats, and they use this as a marketing strategy to get you to watch more news. I want you to make choices to do things that cause you to become more relaxed and open and more in touch with the beauty and kindness that surround you moment to moment when you can remain open to them. The language formula is this. The more emotional the language is you use to describe things in your life, the more elevated your emotions will be as a result. Using negative emotive words, suffocating, suffering, dying, disaster, catastrophic or worst, in a context where they're not reflective of actual reality, will unnecessarily increase the levels of stress you experience. You'll secrete high levels of stress hormones into your bloodstream and the cells in your body. The higher the levels of survival emotions and stress you experience, the harder it is for your body to come into homeostasis and return back to peace and calm, which I think we can all agree is a place we'd like to spend more of our time. Now let's look at exaggeration. I actually ban my clients from the act of exaggeration. This might seem excessive, but hear me out on this one. If you adopt this too, you'll change your emotions and therefore your daily life experience. When we exaggerate a story, we cause an exaggeration of our emotions. If I tell a woeful, exaggerated story of how bad my life is, I'll feel a lot worse than if I tell a story about what is really going on in my life. Most people think that exaggerating is a good way for people to find you more interesting or more impressive. And if you tell a really exaggerated story of how bad your life is, then people are more interested to hear your story. This can also be an unconscious habit that we've learned, where we mistake drawing attention to ourselves through drama and exaggeration for a means of feeling connected. In my experience, a person whom we might call a drama queen has associated drama and people paying attention to their drama with a feeling of establishing connection with others. It is a poor strategy to use to get the connection that we all have a deep need for. You might want to ask yourself, if you have a habit of dramatizing things, what am I seeking to get from creating these dramas in my life? And is it serving me? They're powerful questions. The habit of exaggerating is one that will ultimately cause you emotional pain. And the best way to deal with a habit of this nature is not to exaggerate less, which is harder to self-regulate, but to go cold turkey and stop exaggerating altogether. Be impeccable with your words. Take this very common and simple example. Person one says, I have a million things that I need to get done today. Person two says, I have 5 essential things and 7 desirable things to get done today. Which person is likely to be more stressed out and running around like a crazy person with the mental capacities of a pooch? The words people use determine what is happening within their autonomic nervous systems. The words chosen will determine what genes are being turned on and which are being turned off. The language used will determine whether the digestive and immune systems will be disrupted or repressed. The words you choose really matter. Let's look at another example. Person one, exaggerating. I got absolutely no sleep last night. I tossed and turned all night. I did not sleep a wink. Person one, reality. I got about 4 hours of broken sleep last night. Which story is going to have its teller more wound up? Which is going to guide them into an awareness of their need to take things a little easier, to take a break through the day or take measures to get a better night's sleep? If you are a major or minor exaggerator, stop it now. Here's one of the most powerful tools I can offer you. And it merely is a collection of words. Words that can change the structure of your nervous system and therefore the course of your life. Here are the 4 magic words with a magic symbol at the end. What is the reality? ? What is the reality? In neurolinguistics programming, NLP terms, this would be called a pattern interrupt. You are interrupting the habitual pattern of thinking, feeling, behaving in order to create a new pattern and neural pathway in the brain. When we ask a powerful question, like what is the reality, we bring our attention, energy, blood and oxygen to the frontal cortex or frontal lobes of the brain. You also take your attention out of the limbic part of the brain, which is the emotional, reactive, survival-oriented, and more primitive part of the brain. We ascend into the control tower of our brain, which is the best place to solve problems. To see the bigger picture, to get perspective, to become more aware, to make healthy, more productive choices. 4 simple words. What's the reality? Asked as a question will change the function and capability of your extremely powerful and resourceful mind. When we're overly emotional, we have limited access to our higher levels of mind. As I have already said, we are likely to be in the reactive and survival parts of our brain. I like to use the analogy that I have the thinking powers of a dog when I'm in a stressed and survival-focused state of mind and I'm operating from the limbic or mammalian part of my brain. I'm trying to use the brain of a dog to solve a problem that requires a much higher level of mind. I need to be able to access the frontal lobes of my cortex in order to see the whole picture and draw on all my knowledge and experience to see what potential consequences may look like and then to make the best choice in the moment. Stress and creativity do not hang out in the same place. So if you want to tap into the creative genius that resides within you, you need to become more masterful with the language you choose to think and speak. Words do matter. Choose them wisely. They're steering you through life. They're opening doors for you or they're closing them. Become conscious of what you are saying to yourself and others. Get curious about the stories you tell. Are your stories leading you towards glory or are they leading you down an overgrown and mucky path? The wisest and most effective people among us have become masters of how they use their words, both internally and externally. From this day forward, notice if your words are causing you to expand or contract. Are your words empowering or disempowering you? Are they making life more easeful or more difficult? Are they making you more reactive or more calm? Are they causing you to see or get hyper-fixated on possibility or problems? The words you choose help lay the foundation and create the path for the life you experience.
I hope that you enjoyed that chapter from The Successful Mind. Feel free to deepen your understanding and application to your own life with a pair of beliefs by checking out my online workshop called Processing Your Limiting Beliefs. In the workshop, I also do a powerful NLP technique to help you shift your most limiting and disempowering beliefs. You can find all the details at carlmassey.com, that's CarlMassey.com, in the tab Training and Events. In training events, you can also find out the locations and dates where I'll be hosting my super favorite 3-day Life Masterclass seminars, where we spend 3 days deep diving into your personal transformation and helping you overcome any self-imposed limitations. Who doesn't want to do a little bit more of that? Thank you again for joining me today. If you want to receive more happiness tips or other freebies, make sure you check out my website at www.carlmassey.com and sign up for the Happiness Tips newsletter. And finally, wherever you are on this amazing, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours, have an amazing day and take care.